you have your Bible tonight, be finding the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 19. The book of 1 Kings, chapter number 19. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says in 1 Kings, chapter number 19, verse number 1, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as thy life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and he slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking of coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." Let us pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I need your touch tonight, Lord. Lord, you've given me something here, Lord, that's, Lord, I need to give to this church tonight, Lord. I pray, oh God, you'd help me with that, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, you guard my mouth, not let me say anything that's unpleasing in your sight, Lord. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter number 19, you'll find a great prophet there. You'll see a few main characters there in that story. You'll see old Ahab and Jezebel, and you'll see Elijah. Thank God, y'all say, well, President Obama's pretty bad. Well, let me tell you what, if we had old Ahab and Jezebel, y'all'd be wanting to vote for President Obama tonight. We see Elijah in 1 Kings chapter number 17. He'll find him in a great provision. In 1 Kings chapter number 18, you'll find him in great power. But here in 1 Kings chapter number 19, you'll find him under the hand of God's protection. Let me tell you what, Elijah was at the height of his ministry. Elijah was there to minister. Elijah was there a prophet, a man of God. Elijah is one of my Bible heroes tonight. But in 1 Kings chapter number 19, you'll find him in a place where he wants to die. Let me tell you what, you see this a lot, not with young Christians, but you see it with older Christians, where they fall into a place of not only despair, not only distraught, but they fell into a place of depression. And let me tell you what, in the Baptist church, what we battle tonight, we battle a thing called depression. I want to teach or preach a little bit tonight on this thought: I'm down, but not out. I'm down, but I'm not out. A lot of times in our Baptist churches, we use this cliche. Raise your hand if you ever heard this: I'm too blessed to be depressed. We've all heard that. Let me tell you what, Elijah found himself, he was depressed, but he was still blessed. And that's where a lot of us are tonight. You may be here tonight saying, I'm depressed beyond all measure. Elijah found himself there also. He was a great prophet. He was a great preacher. He was a man of God. He was a man that God would use greatly. And God would call down fire from heaven. Just one chapter over, you'll find him calling down fire from heaven. But in one turn of the page, you'll find him under a juniper tree wishing for himself to die. You see, in 1 Kings 18, Elijah is at the height of his success. And in 1 Kings 19, he's in the depths of despair. In 1 Kings 18, he's on the mountaintop of victory. In 1 Kings 19, he's in the valley of defeat. In 1 Kings 18, he's elated. In 1 Kings 19, he's deflated. And a lot of times in our Christian church, even on a Wednesday night, you may walk in here deflated. Somebody has let the air all out of you. Anybody ever had that happen to you? Let me tell you, I was reading after one man. This is what he said. He said, "Those that go up must first go down." And I found that in my life to be true. God, if he wants to take you higher, you know what you're going to have to do? You're always going to have to get lower. And God will use you. The lower you get, the more he'll use you. And the more we understand that, the more God will use us. You say, was Elijah the first guy in the Bible that wished to die? He was not there by himself. I remember old Moses. found himself in that same situation. I find old Jeremiah in that same situation. I found old Job in that same situation. I even find where old John the Baptist, if you read about him over in Matthew chapter number 11, you'll find himself over in prison, and he'll be guessing if Jesus was even the Christ. And he said, "Go send my servants." He's in a jail. He said, "Go see if he's even the Christ." Let me tell you what he was doing. He was doing what Brother Jody preached about last Wednesday night. He was running low on faith. A lot of times we find ourselves running low on faith. Elijah would find himself in that situation here in this story. I got three things, and it'll be very short, about Elijah here. And I'm down, but I'm not out. I'm glad a lot of times we might get down, and you may be here tonight as low as you've ever been. Let me tell you what, you're not out. You see, I'm blessed even when I'm depressed. And when things don't go, you know when I get depressed? When things don't go my way. Let me tell you what, I've learned this serving God. Things don't go my way a lot of the time. I better write my stuff down in pencil, because God will make sure I got some erasing I need to do in my own life. I want to say, first of all, you'll see Elijah had a fear that overwhelmed him. He had a fear that overwhelmed him. Look there in verse number 1, and it said, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent messenger unto Elijah, say, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Let me tell you what, he had a fear that overwhelmed him. Let me tell you what, God has not given us the spirit of fear. But let me tell you, a lot of times in our life we'll find ourselves in this place of fear, and it will overwhelm us. You say, what do you mean? The psalmist David said it this way in Psalms chapter number 61 and verse number 2. He said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David found himself in a place of overwhelm. You say, what does it mean to be overwhelmed? That means to be so much under a load of weight that you can't hardly stand up anymore. That weight or that load of that object that you're carrying on your back is so heavy that you're going to be fall down because of the weight of it. Elijah found himself in a place of overwhelmness. And we find that a lot of times because we live busy lives. I remember Brother Joe one time, he said this. He said, the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. But I want to show you something tonight Elijah found himself. I want to say, first of all, in the fear that overwhelmed him, it was imagined. Look in verse number 3. Look what it says, the Bible says. It says, when he saw that, what did he see? I wonder what he saw. You see, our mind a lot of times wants us to play tricks on us, and it let us see things that really aren't so. You see, Elijah saw that, and he was imagined. He saw that. You say, oh, Ahab and Jezebel, they sought to kill him. Elijah was a great man. You'll remember in 1 Kings chapter number 17, you'll find him by the brook Cherith, where the ravens came and fed him flesh morning and evening. And then you'll find him later on that, God with a great provision that would feed him out of a little barrel of oil, a little cruse of oil. And then you'll find him in 1 Kings chapter number 18. You say, why did Ahab and Jezebel seek to kill Elijah? Well, he had destroyed all their prophets. He had destroyed all their little gods. You remember in 1 Kings chapter number 18, it said, how long we halt between two opinions? And Elijah called his god. Ahab and Jezebel had all their gods lined up, and they called on their god with a little g from morning to midday. And old Elijah just mocked them. He said, where's your god at? Is he pursuing? Is he journeying? Is he asleep? Must he be awake? And let me tell you what Elijah did. He called on his God with a big G. And you know what his God did? He answered by fire and consumed that burnt sacrifice. Well, let me tell you what. You'll find him just a page of the book. He had a fear that overwhelmed him. Ahab and Jezebel came to him and said this. She said, I'm going to make your life as one of those lives of those prophets that you just killed, and you're about to die. One word, one flip of the page of the Bible, and it said this, and when he saw that, let me tell you what the devil does to us a lot of times. He puts things in our mind. How many of you ever been up, and your wife or your husband, he called you and said, I'm going to be home at 5 o'clock. You say, I don't think like that. Let me bring it down to you. I had one time my wife said, I'll be home at 5 o'clock. It rolled around. I looked at my watch. It was 5:05, and I hadn't seen her. 5:10, still hadn't seen her. 5:30, I hadn't seen her. By 6 o'clock in my mind, she was dead.
Right.
You know why? Because I saw that.
Right.
And a lot of times the devil will use that as imagination. He saw that, and it made him fear. It's, our mind is a battleground for war. It didn't stop when you got saved. You see, a lot of times we think we'll get saved, all our troubles and trials are all over. Let me tell you, you're going to deal with troubles and trials worse when you get saved than before you were. Why? Because you'll realize there's a spiritual warfare going on, and it's a battle of your mind. Elijah would find that it would be a battle of his mind. I would say God changes us by our minds. You say, what do you mean by that? Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants us to renew our mind. Why? That you might prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Not only does He change us by our mind, He controls us through our mind. Solomon said this in Proverbs 23 and 7. He says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are what you think a lot of times. You see, Elijah thought that he would die. This is going to be funny. Elijah wished that he would die. He was running from death, and then he prayed for death. Did Elijah really want to die? I don't think so. But he said in himself, why would he run from old Ahab and Jezebel if he was going to pray for death himself? Let me tell you, that's what the devil loves for us to do. He loved to do that. Not only was Elijah's fear imagined, his fear isolated him. Let me say this. Where did Elijah go when the fear came upon him? Look down in verse number 4. Look what the first thing he did. And I'm going to tell you tonight, this is the first thing you'll do, because in us, this is what we want to do. We always want to flee from the trouble. This is what he did in verse number 4. It said, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested that himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, and I'm not better than my father's. He said this in verse number 3. He left his servant there. You know what he did? He isolated himself from the pack. If you're not careful tonight, the devil will come to you. He'll start imagining things. You know what the first thing you'll do? You'll isolate yourself. And it's not good for us to be alone. You know when Adam was in the garden and God had made him a helpmate, you know what he said? It's not good for the man to be alone. And God has given us a spouse. And I'm going to tell you what will happen between a husband and a wife. A lot of times you'll isolate yourself from one another. Elijah isolated himself from his servant. You see, Elijah, not only did his work stop, his word stopped. You see, if you're going to be a prophet in the Bible, you know what you have to be? You have to be 100% correct 100% of the time. You see, that's the qualification of an Old Testament prophet. He had to be 100% correct 100% of the time. But what could he do if his words were stopped and he had isolated? Who was he going to preach to then? You see, a lot of times we can't be a blessing because we've isolated ourselves from other people. I've seen a lot of times in my job that I've isolated myself because of fear or some kind of same thing. Elijah, I ran from a problem, and I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I just won't face it. You know what I did? I isolated myself, and I no longer could help anybody else because I'd isolated myself. Not only did he find his fear was imagined, his fear was isolated, he found his fear was because of inferiority. Look what it said in the bottom part of verse number 4. It said this. It said, I am not better than my fathers. You know what he was saying? He said, there's no use in me serving God anymore because I'm going to be just like my fathers. And he was making reference back. Elijah was from, he was of Gilead, you know. So Elijah said, I'll tell you what, I might as well stop serving God because my fathers didn't serve God the right way. And how can I be better than they are? A lot of times in my life, I've thought that same thing. Why do I do what I do? A lot of times I fail, and I'll admit to that tonight. But you know what? If I sit there and stop in failures, I never progress any further. Elijah said, hey, I'm not any better than my fathers. He found himself in a fear of inferiority, and he stopped. His work has stopped. His words have stopped. He'll find himself that way. Not only he finds a fear that overwhelmed him, I'll say secondly, he found that his flesh overtook him. Look what it said in verse number 5. And it says, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. You know what he found out? He found out that his flesh was very frail. You see, a lot of times when we operate in our flesh, we become very frail. You remember Jesus, when the night he prayed in the garden, over in Matthew chapter number 28, he was praying in the garden. The Bible said he went a little further, and he left three men alone to pray, didn't he? He left old Peter, James, and John. They was boys that, you know, if I needed somebody to pray for me, I'd probably call on them and say, Peter, you go at it. You know, James, you go at it. And John, you go at it. I'm going to go a little further over here to pray, and I want you to pray for me for just a little while. Jesus came back to him, and he found those boys asleep. And he came back, and he went back and prayed some more, and he came back, and they found them boys asleep. And you know what he said? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let me tell you, if you're trusting in your flesh tonight, you know what you're going to find out very soon? You'll find yourself just like Elijah, saying your strength is very frail. If you try to do things in the flesh, you know what? God will make sure that you fall. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Elijah found himself there. Elijah was a great man. Elijah is one of my Bible heroes. And I'm going to tell you what, he was a man of like passions as we are. Elijah was a man that prayed one time that it might not rain upon the earth for 3.5 years. And God heard his prayer. And God answered his prayer. And let me tell you what, Elijah was a prayer warrior. Elijah had it. If he needed something from God, he knew who to go to. But he finds himself not only feared, but he found his flesh overtook him. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm no better than he is tonight. He was a man of like passions. You say, what does that mean? That means he was cut out of the same cloth. It means he put his pants leg on one leg at a time, just like me and you. Elijah was a man just like we are. A lot of times we're reading the Bible and we think, man, he must be some kind of super Christian because he made it into the Bible. But let me tell you what, he was a man just like me and you are. But he found himself that God would use him, but he found himself in a place of depression. Where his mind was overtaken by thoughts, and he found out his flesh was frail. Not only that, he found out that his speech was foolish. Look what he said in verse number four. He said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers." You want to know when your speech will become foolish? When you know your flesh is overtaking you. A lot of times I've made some foolish thoughts or said something foolish. You know why? I let my flesh engage before my brain thought about it. Elijah found himself there wishing to die because of it. I want to say this. Turn over to Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10. And I know we have a bunch of rednecks in the building tonight because you know why? Because if we thought we could handle things in the flesh, you know what we'd do? We'd try it. There's been people that picked on me. I remember a boy, he used to come up and try to pick on me. I told him what? I said, come on over here. I got something for you. I can handle you pretty good. And I thought I did. And I did handle him pretty good. But let me tell you what, that was just one little battle. This thing we're fighting, if we could fight it in the flesh, we probably would do pretty good. But God's going to make sure that you can't trust in this flesh. Let me tell you what your battle is. Your battle is in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We're fighting a battle that we can't control. You see, we do pretty good when we can control the situation. But let me tell you what God's going to make sure. He's going to make sure He's going to put you in a situation where you cannot control and you have to fully trust in Him. Elijah found himself there. There was nothing Elijah could do. He had a fear that overwhelmed him. He had a flesh that overtook him. And the last thing tonight that I want to look at, he had a father that overshadowed him. I'm glad when I got fear. And I'm glad when I'm in the flesh. I tell you what I got. I got a heavenly Father looking out. You know what He's doing? He's overshadowing me. He's overshadowing me. Look what He did. I got 6 quick things, so don't miss them when they'll go hurriedly. It starts off in verse number 5 there. It says, "And he lay and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat." I want to say God put him in a place of rescue. You know what God did? He dispatched an angel, especially for Elijah. And he said he touched him. Let me tell you what, here tonight, you may be here tonight and don't believe in angels, but I do. And the Bible said they're ministering spirits sent forth to those who be heirs of salvation. And I'm not going to, it's not a message about angels tonight, but thank God he does have angels dispatched. And I'm glad that there's probably be, when you get to heaven, God will reveal some things to you. And he'll show you what the angel did for you, or the angels did for you all your life and protected you. He sent Elijah there in a place of rescue. Not only was it a place of rescue, it was a place of rest. Look what it said. You got to imagine this. Elijah thinks he's fixing to die. Let me tell you what, if I thought I was going to die tonight, I probably wouldn't get much sleep. How many of you have ever had a doctor's appointment the next day and you didn't sleep that very good because you had some fear? You didn't want to know what the doctor had to say. Let me say this. It was a place of rest. God sometimes has to get us in a place like this so that we can rest. Look what he did to Elijah. He said, in verse number 5, it said, he lay and slept under a juniper tree. It was a place of rest. I remember Jesus said this in Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find what? Rest unto your souls. I thank God that he's got a place of rest for his children. It may take everything you got to get to that place, but I'm glad when you get there, you know what he's got for you? He's got a place of rest. Not only has he got a place of rest, he's got a place of refreshments. You see, that angel has stuff for him. You see, I'm glad God has stuff for us. He knows what we need. Let me tell you what, when God formed us, he knew what we'd be. He said that he formed us out of the dust of the ground, didn't he? You know what, if you were to take your body tonight and just do like that, you know what you're knocking off you? Dust. You could take your very being. I'm glad God knows our frame. He knows what we need. He knows when we need it, and he's on time every time. And Elijah would find that. He'd find a place of refreshments. It says here in verse number 6, it said, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on coals and a cruse of water and at his head. And he did eat and drink, and he laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came the second time and touched him because and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. That's the first time you ever see angel's food cake in the Bible. The old angel gave him some cake. Let me tell you what, it was a place of refreshments. Let me tell you what, God has things for us that are new day by day, and they're refreshing. When you find this place of rescue, when you find your place of rest, you know what he's got? He's always got refreshments. You know why it's good to be here on a Wednesday night? Because God's going to give you some refreshments. There's going to be some times in your life that you can't make it through this week without hearing from God. And let me tell you what he's going to do. He'll use a preacher to come to you and tell you that there are refreshments down at the house of God. And he'll give you a little something to eat. And he'll give you a little something to drink to get you down life's way. A place of refreshments. Not only that, it was a place of revelation. Look down in verse number 10. And he said, I have been very jealous, talking about Elijah speaking here, for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets, and only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Look here, a place of revelation. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces for the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. You know what it was? It was a place of revelation. You say, why was this place so significant? You know where Elijah was when he heard this? He was standing on Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb is a special place for us. You know why? Because that's where Moses received the Ten Commandments. It was the same place where God would speak to Moses. Would be the same place that old still small voice would speak to Elijah. You know why I'm here tonight? Because of a still small voice that said, come unto me. I was a little boy, 19, almost 20 years old, on my way to hell. In a place of revelation, in the front row of Faith Baptist Church, God would speak to me. And you know what he'd say? He'd say, come. You know what he might be saying to you tonight? He may be saying, come. Somebody here may not be saved. Somebody might be in here and need rest. And God's sitting here saying, come. place of revelation. Thank God for us still small boys. Let me tell you how God... I was reading after one man. This is what he said, Brother Ken. He said he's not only the God of wonders, but he's the God of whispers. And a lot of times, God, we're so busy that we can't hear God. And he's over gently whispering to you. It's like, come. Come unto me. And we can't even hear him because he's a God of whispers. A lot of times God will get you still so he can speak to you. He got Elijah still right here. And it was a place of revelation. Not only was it a place of revelation, it was a place of reinforcements. Look down in verse number 15. And he said, and the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way in the wilderness of Damascus. And when I come, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint the king over Israel. And Elijah the son of Shaphat of Imabola shalt thou anoint the prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that escapeth with the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elijah slay. And here it is. But yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Let me tell you what he did. He sent reinforcements. You see, Elijah thought he was all alone. Two times he went before the Lord in this chapter, and he said, Lord, you just don't know how much they've forsaken you. That's why I've isolated myself. God's got reinforcements. Let me tell you why you're here tonight. There's reinforcements all around you. There's brothers and sisters here to encourage you. There's people here that'll pray for you. There's people here that'll talk with you. There's people here that'll give you spiritual guidance and give you things to eat that only the Bible itself can give you. It was a place of reinforcements. Not only was it a place of reinforcements, it was a place of return. Look what he did in verse number 15. It said this, I'm talking about a father that overshadowed him. See, Elijah found out that God was protecting him this whole time. Look what it says in verse number 15. It said, and the Lord said unto him, go. And then it said this, it was a place of return. See, Elijah had got out of the race. Elijah had thrown in the towel. Elijah said, this is my last message. This is it. I'm all by myself. I'm isolated. You know what God told him? I'm talking about a God that overshadowed us. Elijah said, I'm done. I'm glad he's a God of second chances. You know what he said? He said, go return. You just do what you've been doing. He said, I got some reinforcements down the road. You know who they are? He said, I got old Elijah. You'll find in the last part of this chapter, you'll find that's where he gets yoked up with Elijah to be anointed the next prophet down before him. God would give people for him. Not only that, this is where David and Jonathan's get together. This, you know what the Bible said about David and Jonathan? It said this. It said their heart was knit together. You know what it's a place of? It's where you see your Peter, James, and John, where they got brothers and sisters. That's why you return. There's some little ones is why we need to return. Young man out there in the foyer tonight, and he said this. He said, you're going to preach tonight, aren't you? And I said, I sure am. And I said, do this for me. I said, you pray for me. There's little ones all around you that are watching you. They're taking in more than you ever thought they would or ever known. I thank God I got a little four-year-old that may pray for me tonight. I'll take it. I'll take any prayer that anybody will pray for me. Thank God we've got a place of return. You say, why is that so significant? I remember a man named Peter. Brother Jody preached it the other night. The devil, Jesus came to him and said this. He said, Simon, Simon. The devil had desired, the Satan had desired that he may sift you as wheat. He said this, but I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You said, did Peter fall? Jesus had told him that Satan was all on his trail and Satan was going to get him, or about to get him. You know what Peter did? He found himself warming himself by the fire, didn't he? And he denied the Lord thrice, didn't he? But I'm glad we find Peter later on down the story. We find him later on down the road. We find him, he did return, didn't he? You see, failure is not final. You see, Elijah, if he would have stopped right there, he would have never got yoked up with the next prophet that was going to take his place. He returned. We find Peter, what did he do? We find him over there preaching in the book of Acts. You know what he did? He's preaching on the day of Pentecost. And you know what the Bible said? It said 3,000 souls were added in the church that day. And Peter went on to write books in the Bible as the Holy Ghost would lead him. Return. You see, God wants us to return. You say, I'm here tonight and I'm depressed. I'm down. Let me tell you what, you may be down, but you don't have to be out. You may be here and you're depressed, but let me tell you what, you're still blessed. I'm glad we have a God that overshadows us. You know what? I'll read one more place and I'll be done. It's found in the book of Psalms, chapter number 91, verse number 1. You say, I know how to call 911. This is my 911 right here. When I'm overwhelmed, when I need a place to turn to in the Bible, this is where I go. This is what Psalmist David said. I'm talking about a father that overshadows us. And then I'm done. Psalm 91, verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Here it is. I'm talking about a father that overshadows us. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Let me tell you what, I've got a father that overshadows me even when I mess up. I remember this as a young kid. Across the road from us, our neighbors had some chickens when I was growing up, and they had a bunch of laying hens. And us as young boys would like to go in there and mess with them a little bit. But I tell you what we didn't do. We did it a couple of times, but we learned our lesson. That old mother hen get over on them eggs. And if any of them had ever hatched out, let me tell you what had happened. You did not try to touch one of those little chicks. You know why? Because that old mother hen would try to cover those little chicks with her wings. They had a mother that overshadowed them. You know what I got tonight? I've got a father that overshadows me. When I mess up, He said, that's all right, son. Dust yourself off and return. I'm glad I've got a father that overshadows me tonight. I thank God for His hand and His touch on me.